Virgin Atlantic this week filed for Chapter 15 bankruptcy protection, but says it will continue to operate as it restructures the business. Here and now, transportation analyst Seth Kaplan joins us now. And Seth, Virgin Atlantic is a British company, but it does serve many airports in the U.S. What is the significance of this Chapter 15 bankruptcy protection?
Yeah, about a dozen airports in the U.S. A British company, Jeremy, that's about half owned by an American company that everybody knows. And this is Delta Airlines I'm talking about. You know the airline, you might not know that it owns 49% of Virgin Atlantic, but it does. Virgin Atlantic, generally a well-liked airline, does well in traveler surveys around the world. And yeah, one of the biggest names yet. Something that in a normal year, Jeremy, this would be one of the biggest stories all year. But nowadays, it's just kind of par for the course, isn't it?
Well, and do you expect any U.S.-based airlines to follow Virgin in filing for some sort of bankruptcy protection in the coming months?
None of them are on the brink right now. Now, look, there's no business in the world that's set up to just kind of go on forever without very much business coming in, right? And so part of this will depend on how long the pandemic goes on and also what kind of new aid they get. But right now, look, they're facing losing some of the aid that they've been getting, but then they're just going to shrink and unfortunately furlough a lot of people to stay afloat. And most of the major U.S. airlines should be able to stay afloat with those painful measures for a while.
Let's turn to another form of transportation. A survey of transportation agencies conducted by the New York Times found that there have been no coronavirus super spreader events linked to mass transit. Tell us more about this, because just a few months ago, experts were very worried about public transit and packed train cars and packed buses leading to super spreader events.
They were, Jeremy, and it seems like there's no evidence of, as you said, a super spreader event on transit. That doesn't mean that somebody somewhere or more than one person, you know, hasn't contracted COVID on public transportation. But it seems these systems actually have rather good air filtration systems. So there's nothing about being on a train or on a bus that makes you any more likely to get COVID. Now, look, if you're shoulder to shoulder with somebody who's not wearing a mask and they sneeze in your face, you're at risk just like you would be in that situation in a supermarket or anywhere else. Also have to keep in mind, Jeremy, that nearly 40,000 Americans die each year in car crashes. So anybody who's kind of doing the math and saying, should I drive a car to avoid using public transportation on safety grounds? That's tricky math. Somebody who, of course, is just staying home to be safe. That's another story. That's what a lot of us still should be doing.
Well, and another reason why there may not be as much of a risk right now on public transit is that a lot fewer people are using public transit. When do you expect transit ridership to go back to anything approaching normal?
Really, when the world goes back to normal, Jeremy. Public transportation is just a way that people get to do all the things that they usually do. And so when they're not going into an office, or they're not going to a ball game, or they're not doing all of those things in their lives that they usually do, in the end, public transportation is going to suffer, just like airlines are, and just like people are driving fewer miles in their cars as well. So the highest level question of all, you tell me what happens with the pandemic, and I'll tell you the rest of it. Don't mean to be flippant, right, but that's really how this works with right, all industries.
Absolutely. Here now, transportation analyst Seth Kaplan. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.